Take our Bibles, open to the book of Genesis chapter 7. God reveals himself in several different ways. I am thankful for the Bible, but you do know that for thousands of years, really, there were no recorded scriptures. There were none written down. The writing prophets came along. We've been looking at God's revelation of himself in the lives of people. Several years ago now, it struck me as I went through reading the Old Testament, and he repeated this phrase over and over again, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's the cry, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And all those types of words. And so the emphasis is not on Moses or not on Elijah or not on Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, but the emphasis is on God. And I want you to know that their God is our God. And your God, because he loved us so much, he gave his son that we might have everlasting life. Brother Johnny Deal did a tremendous job in Sunday school this morning, sharing with us the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. We're living in now what's called the age of grace. God has blessed us. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's still the God, the same God. And we've been learning that. And so I've got several things. I have mentioned to you that somewhere in these series of messages about Noah that I wanted to preach, felt like the Lord wanted me to preach on the drowning of John Smith. Some of you may have heard that. Some of you may have been here 20 years ago when I preached it for the first time here at the church. But I haven't preached it in a long time. I've been praying over it because it is about the flood. God, I was in a revival down in Florida and way back in the early 70s. I was not preaching. The God was a moving at Caney Creek Baptist Church. The building was packed. People were standing. He had the choir was full. People were sitting around like on the altar. I was sitting right over here somewhere like this altar is built. It's a lot smaller church. But I was sitting over there as a young preacher. And the pastor was preaching, the evangelist was preaching. He preached about the flood. And I began to wonder in my mind, God, what must it have been like to have been there then, to be in that time of awful desolation? Regina and I mentioned to you, went to the Smoky Mountain Jubilee, and we were some of the first that came back through the gorge. You know, they closed 40. All the flooding and devastation there, it washed out 40 between North Carolina and Tennessee. Well, they opened it at daylight Saturday morning. We came through there sometime before 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. I had really prayed. I had an alternative route and I said, Lord, I don't want to get caught in traffic. I don't want to, if I go that way, I don't want it to collapse and fall down while I'm going through there. I want to make sure I trust you, Lord, but it might be good for 4,000 or 5,000 people to travel on that before I do and just make sure it's not going to fall. I'd heard they wasn't going to let buses or trucks go on it, but we found that wasn't exactly true because we saw some approaches. But Regina and I got there and it came along, you know, in 45, and then it said 30 miles an hour for the next 10 miles. And you're right in the middle of the Tennessee, North Carolina mountains. If you've ever been that through that gorge, you go down to the rivers down here, and we saw just massive pieces of the road gone. And sometime it was just two car lengths wide where we went around a curve. You could look right over, and Regina was on that side. She was looking and trying to videotape it. But it was awesome. I mean, you just see the devastation of it and all like that. But it was an experience. But God allowed us to get through there safely, and I'm thankful for that. God has done so many wonderful things for us, but you see the mighty power of God. And the flood was a demonstration of God's mighty power. I want to read a verse or two this morning once again. And when I saw Brother Johnny Deal put his glasses on when he got ready to read this morning, it reminded me I left mine again. And so if I miss a word, you're used to it by now, because that's the way I read sometimes. But look in the book of Genesis, if you will, please. And we're going to come back, and will you please look with me, please, at chapter 6 and verse number 6. Notice let me back up to introduce it in verse 5. I read this last week, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It's not in the message, I'll emphasize it, but read the next verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, turn over, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. And I want to read one passage of scripture here in the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews in chapter number 11. Look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing of Brother Danny, God, for touching him, and Joe Barry, and Lord, the choir, thank you for blessing them. Lord, I enjoy the congregational singing this morning. We're glad for visitors and guests. Good to have Brother Charles and Sister Virginia visiting with us this morning. Glad Brother Eric could be back with us this morning. And God, I thank you for others who are here, some who've been sick and not able to be here. And our Father, we're so blessed to have the auditorium filled this morning. But Lord, we know that we've got so many wonderful friends not able to be here. We pray for Baron Francis this morning. We pray for Chris and Sue Ellen this morning. Charles went home sick this morning, and Lord, Brother Doug is not well this morning. There's so many others that couldn't be here. And I pray, God, your blessing on every one of them. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God now would do what no man could do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw people by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, thank you for what you're doing. We just give you praise for it. And God, I pray you'd move once again in the services here as I share the Word of God. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been dealing with Noah, and I tell you, I'm getting blessed. I've been preaching now 57 years. You'd think I know something by now. But you know what I find? I'm forgetting some things I knew, and now I'm learning things I didn't know. And sometimes I'm learning the same thing again. It's like it's new because I didn't remember it. But isn't it a blessing? But when we're studying the lives of men, we looked at Adam. Oh, the God of Adam's the God of creation. He made everything out of nothing. In part of Brother Ralph Sexton's message the other night, he did a tremendous job, always does, but he's preaching about there is a God from the book of Daniel. And he's talking about the creative God. And he said, our world exists of time and space and matter. And he said, but God did a miracle. There was neither one. There was no such thing as time. Did you know there was a time when there was no time? It's eternal. And there's coming a day where there will be no time again for us. For those who are in heaven, there's no night there. It is eternal. I've often said the Word of God is not old or ancient. It is eternal. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. The Word of God's always existed. He gave us a portion of God's wisdom in the Bible, the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was the incarnate Word in flesh. But the Word has always been there because God's always been there. God did not have a beginning. He does not have an end. And so there was time when there was no such thing as time. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created time in the beginning. That's time. God started the clock. He started a thing called time. And he's a triune God. It says, let us create man. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three. But he created the time. And so when time, he created a trinity as well. He created, you have a past, you have a present, you have a future. But then he created not only time, but he created space. And he said, let there be space, firmament. And the firmament means space or air or the sky. He created all of that. And thank the Lord for that. And then he created, the Bible said, and he created the earth. That's the solid matter. And matter has three forms, of course. It has liquid and gas and solids. And he's a trinity. He's a trinity. And there are three levels in the firmament as well. Everything identifies God as the creator. He's the wonderful creator. He's the creator God. You ever come to a place where you don't have anything? You don't have any idea what you're going to do? You just come to the end of your rope and there's a financial need. You don't have anything. you have a problem, you don't have a solution, you have a broken heart and there's no way to mend it, remember the God of Noah. He's a God who can create something out of nothing. He can do that. And there were so many other things about Adam. And so many things about Adam. We talked about Enoch. Enoch's a God with whom you can walk. He's a God who is pleased by faith. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him because he had this testimony. He pleased God. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we know that Enoch's faith, according to the book of Hebrews, pleased God. He's a God who's pleased by our believing Him, believing that He can do the impossible by trusting Him and believing Him. And we've learned already about Noah. Noah's God is our God, but He's a God of comfort. And that word comfort doesn't mean, you know, pity party or consolation. It means somebody who comes alongside to hold you up. I'm glad, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He doesn't ever leave me or forsake me. He's always there. There's times that I can't go. Boy, I do love that little poem about footsteps in the sand. You've heard that poem. I couldn't recite it now. But it's something like this. Lord, I saw as I traveled through time, I saw our footprints side by side. But when I went through a dry and dusty place and a horrible place, I saw there was only one set. Lord, why did You leave me in the darkest hour of my life? And He said, my son, those are not Your footsteps in the sand there. They are mine. I carried You through the darkness. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you got a God that'll comfort you? And then we saw this. Noah's God is a God of grace. That's wonderful. He extended grace to Noah. And you say, well, it says that he was a righteous man and all this other thing. But he says he got grace first. And grace is what makes us righteous. Not my righteousness, not your righteousness. Even for salvation, all of my righteousness, all of your goodness, all of our goodness is filthy rag. But He clothed us in the righteousness of His dear Son. And thank God for that. Amen. He is a God of grace. And then last week, I said He's a God that sees. He sees intently. He sees intentionally. He's looking. The Bible said He looks. And there's a difference between seeing and looking. You can see people. I can look around this congregation and see you. My peripheral vision, I can see the whole congregation. But if I focus on Miss Regina and look at her, I have a purpose for looking at her. And He looks at us for a purpose. He looks at us. He said, now my eyes are open to this place. And He sees us. Brother Johnny this morning in Sunday class said, hey, God knows all about us, knows all of the hairs of our head. Knows all about us. Why does He do that? Is He trying to pick out flaws in us? Is He trying to? No. He looks at us because He loves us. The Bible said He set His love on us. He set it on us. It means that He dialed us in and He has a permanent, His look is continuous. He always has His eyes on you. He's watching you. But quickly this morning, let me share this with you. Brother Ricky wanted to know a title. When I gave him the title, he kind of stared at me a minute and then turned around and walked off. I read it to you. Look at it, what it says. Let me read it again. In verse number 6, and it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man and whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I made them. Now I know immediately when I say the word repent, you're like me, my mind goes to repentance for salvation, repenting from sin. The Hebrew word does mean to turn or redirect. It has nothing in this case to do with sin. The Bible said God doesn't tempt men with sin, and God doesn't sin, and He doesn't tempt men to sin. And so He has no sin to repent of. This word simply means that He was affected. How was He affected? Well, the context will tell you that. This word repent means He was grieved. He was sorrowed. I believe He was sorrowed kind of like when He's at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus in human flesh wept. God has a heart. And even in that word where it repenteth me that I've made man, it sorrows me, it grieves me. The Bible said God has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. But these people had so sinned, they'd crossed the deadline, and God had pronounced judgment. But now watch, He's a God who can repent. Not repent of sin, but repent means to turn. Like, it means a 180-degree turn. It means you'd go this way. But you see, God, let me just show it this way. God said, I set before you life and death. He told Israel, I set before you life and death. God gave them two options. And His response to them would be on which choice they made. God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy, but is a God of justice and a God of wrath. He's a God who brings judgment. He's a God who judges sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The payment on sin is death. That's God in His holiness has set that as a sovereign God. It is that. She that sinneth is dead while she yet liveth. Sin brings death. It brings an execution. It brings a judgment on it. And God deals with you according to how you respond. And when it says this, well, let me show you in the book of Jeremiah. Turn your Bible in the book of Jeremiah, and if you will, turn with me over to a passage of Scripture in chapter 23. And notice what it says in this passage, chapter 26, I'm sorry. In Jeremiah chapter 26, I think I marked this so I could turn to it quickly with you this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 26. And let me show you this verse. Look in Jeremiah chapter 26 and look at verse number 3. He is talking about He's going to judge them. He's going to judge the nation of Israel. But He's telling them that they should do something. And then notice what it says in verse 3. Is so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I have purposed to do unto them because of their evil doings. If you studied the Old Testament, read the Old Testament, you know that God sent prophets. They pleaded with the with the children of Israel. He begged them to quit serving idols. He begged them to turn back to God, to obey God, to do that. He sent those prophets. Jeremiah came as a weeping prophet, but they would not listen to the prophets. And then He began to send prophets who did not plead with them to repent, but they denounced them or pronounced judgment on them. But here's what I want you to see. He says this. He said, if they would repent, if they would turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose. Okay, I've been trying to think of some way to illustrate this. I kind of understand it in my own heart, but try to help us understand it. Just suppose you're found guilty before God, and you have been. The Bible said Christ came not to condemn because we were condemned already. How were we condemned? The Bible said God judged all under sin. Everybody born in Adam's race is born a sinner. We have an Adamic nature. We are sinners by nature. And because of that, we are alienated from God, without God, without hope. Because of that, the wages of sin is death. In other words, it's in His law, there's transgression or sin. Transgression means you step across. God draws a line. This is where you don't go. If you step across the line, you've sinned. But it said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So consequently, there's an execution. And I thought about people dying and how they die, and I'm not afraid to give my life for Christ, but whatever it is, I want it to be quick. You know, the guillotine, that sounds pretty gross. That's right before lunch. We don't want to talk much about that. I'm not real crazy about firing squads. And I've seen them where, the hero, they're going to blind everybody else, come to the hero. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. He's just standing there and look at you. They got all these guns pointed at him. And so let's just look at this. God said, if you commit this sin, if you disobey me, the wages of sin is death. You'll be alienated from me forever in a place called hell. It's kind of like you're in front of the firing squad. You're already found guilty. They got the gun up, and it said, ready, aim, and you cocked the handle, and you got your finger on the trigger. And so God's standing there with the gun, guilty before God. But he said, but if you'll repent, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said this, because you're a sinner, you're destined to perish. But if you'll believe on Jesus, I won't pull the trigger. Come on now. That's what happened to you. Death was hanging over me like a shroud. One heartbeat, I'd have been in hell. And God the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sin, showed me the Savior, and by faith said, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sin. I believe Jesus died for my sin. Lord Jesus, come in my heart. Forgive me right now. And he let the hammer down. He didn't pull the trigger. I'm forgiven forever and forever. My sin's paid for. Christ paid the sin debt for me. He's a God who will repent, but not of sin. It means this. It means this, the idea of deterring or relenting or whatever. In this particular passage in the Old Testament, he's talked about grieved. In 2 Corinthians, it said that godly sorrow brings repentance, not to be repented of. He's talking about when you repent as a believer, God the Holy Ghost brings you to a place where you're sorry for your sin. And so in this sense, God was grieved with that generation, with that society. But here in the book of Jeremiah, when it says repent, it has to do this idea of deferring punishment, not executing punishment. In other words, you have an option. And you say, well, God's a bad God because he throws us in hell. No, he doesn't. He gives you opportunity to do that, to trust Christ. Believe it or not, when I studied this and got ready to preach this series in Sunday morning, I got about 12 of these points, and I'm kind of getting one a Sunday. So you can figure about June, we'll be through with Noah. But here's what I'm getting at, and I've just mentioned this one. He's a God who warns. He's got the gun on you. He's got the hammer cocked. And he said, like in the book of Revelation, when he's speaking to the church, he said, repent or else. Repent or else. And that's what he's saying to you now. Does he want to execute judgment? Does he want you to die and go to hell? No, doesn't have any pleasure in the death of one God, but he's a holy God, and that's the way it's set up. But he's not willing that any should perish. Doesn't want anybody in this building, anybody sound my voice to die. And he is a God who will keep his word. The wages of sin is death. But my dear friend, God in his marvelous grace did something amazing for us. I was standing in line of that gun, and I did repent, and I did receive salvation. But the reason that would happen is because somebody else took my place. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He moved us out of the way, and he stepped in front of the firing squad, and he gave his life a ransom that we might be saved and have a home in heaven. And God will turn away that wrath. Not one person in this building, not one person in Johnson County, not one person in the world has to die and go to hell. He's already made provision for you to be saved. And he will defer, he'll deter, he'll take away that judgment. He's already laid it on his son, and he will accept that if you'll accept his son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he says in Hebrews that Noah, being warned of God, he is a God that warns. He warns you in his word. He warns you through the prayers of your mama and your grandma and the life of believers that you know. He warns you through the preaching of the word of God from pastors and evangelists. Many of you in here have heard it over and over again. You know what he was doing? He was warning you. But the third thing I was going to say this morning, if I had time, was he said, my spirit would not always strive with man in his flesh. There will come a time when God said, your time is up. Your last chance. I'll pull the trigger. You'll plunge in hell for all eternity. The great preacher many years ago, Jonathan Edwards, preached a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he illustrated them as a spider hanging from a mere thread of a web. He said, that's the only thing holding you from plunging into hell right now is just that one little thin spider web. At any moment, it could break, or God could break it, and you'd plunge into hell for all eternity. The decision's yours. The God of Noah is a God of grace, but he is a God of judgment. He's a God that can change not his immutability, not who he is, not his decrees, but how he does in regard to judging you if you would but believe. He said in Jeremiah to this group of people that if they would turn, he would repent and thank the Lord for that. Notice what he said, therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he thought to pronounce upon you. The key is this, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. If, I'll ask you this morning, will you as a believer turn from your sin and have revival in your heart and life? As a lost person, would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? The God of Noah is a God who will and can repent, not of evil, but of execution of what he's planning to do. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that God, though we are wicked and though we've sinned against you and though your word has condemned us, your sovereignty has condemned us, our lifestyle has condemned us, God, you still, even now, in this dispensation of grace, you extend to every man, woman, boy, and girl the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But Father, we do know that if we die without Christ, we'll be like that rich man in hell, tormented in the flame forever and forever. God, you're not pleased with that. You have no pleasure in that. You're not willing that any would perish. But God, I pray that right now the Holy Ghost of God is made real to people who you are, just a little bit from the life of Noah. And God, we would be willing to turn and repent, that you might turn and repent of the judgment imposed and hanging over our head, and experience your wonderful grace. God, this is your place, this is your people. You do what you want to do. My dear friend, as Christians, Noah being warned of God, I really want to have time to get to that point. I may just have to deal with that altogether. But he's warned you. He spoke to your heart over and over again through the Holy Spirit of God, something in your life that you have done. You need to ask God to forgive you. He's told you there's somebody you need to call and apologize. There's some retribution you need to make. There's something you need to do. You failed him in some area, and he's waiting for you to ask him to forgive you. And he said, he's faithful and just, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And he'll do that for you today. Can I tell you that verse in the book of Hebrews? If we sin willfully, there comes a day of chastening. I'm going to just tell you right now, you don't want to go there. If God's dealing you about something as a Christian and you've not bowed the knee and yielded to him, surrendered, confessed, or been obedient, you don't want to experience his chastening. I can tell you that from experience. But He loves you, and He wants the very best in your life. He's not trying to take anything from you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to have joy unspeakable and peace that passes all understanding. But you can't have it as long as there's something between your soul and the Savior. You need to get right this morning around this altar. If you're here this morning, you're lost. He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. Even after all of looking at those people, and every thought, every imagination was wicked all the time. He provided salvation through Noah. He built the ark. I do believe anybody wanted to could have repented and got on that ark, but they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And if I understand correctly, the Word of God, it took him 120 years to ever get it finished. 120 years they had to repent, but God closed the door and nobody got in. He is a God whose spirit will not always strive with man. He may close the door on you today. I believe there's a sin unto death. I'm asking you this morning to respond while the Holy Ghost of God speaks to your heart. If you're not saved, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Right now, would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him now? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, once again, this is your people. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, speak to their heart. I pray, blessed Lord Jesus, that God, you'd move, and I'll thank you.